It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We are up and running, off and rolling, and hey, not even buffering or anything. So maybe it's a good start. Brother Deacon Asa tells me that we're up and running on Head On Live, and I'm waiting to see if the White Rose stream is going to pick up. Yeah. Who knows? Hard to say. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is Tuesday, December the 5th, 2017. Steve from Georgia Stan tells me that the White Rose stream is as dead as Jacob Marley. Well, at least Jacob Marley had the sound of rattling chains. I think the White Rose stream is probably deader than that. And so, let's see, I did the Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid part, and I gave the date. All right, well, it's Titanic Tuesday on the horn, and that means that, before we do anything else, there are thanks to send out. Thank you very kindly this evening to, thanks go out this evening to Paul, who has re-upped his subscription. And thanks again to James there in Illinois for his subscription today. That's only part of it. Because, of course, we have a little Patreon campaign going on. And there, we have some subscribers as well. A few. And so we're going to see if it'll actually load.
Working slowly.
Mm-hmm. So that I can provide the thanks that are needed for the Patreon campaign. And for the month of, well, let's see, let's just Patreon is not as easy to look at as PayPal is. But here's a partial list of the, I think this is the list. Thanks go out to Brother Deacon Asa and to Nick Thank you, Nick. To our buddy Horst, to John, and to Karen, and Barb, to our friends at Therapeutic Adventures, to Jeremy in Vermont, to our buddy Frank, thank you to Matthew, and to John, Johannes, John, and to Margaret, Peggy, to Rico, and to Rocky, and to David, and to Robin. Let's see, 1, 2, 3. That's our Patreon. That's our Patreon subscribers. So thank you very, very kindly. And thank you to Larry for jumping in just a minute or so ago. All that having been said, guess what? Yesterday was and today is. Isn't it cool? A fundraising-free edition of The Horn. It would be nice if we had days and days and days of this, but we won't. But yesterday and today will be, thanks to our subscribers and to our Patreon members. Remember, if you'd like, well, no, we're not going to do it, because it's a fundraising-free, broadcast on The Horn because of those subscribers, both at PayPal and Patreon. Thank you very, very kindly indeed. So that means that we can just jump right into things. Well, I mean, we can almost jump right into things because, well, we've got one other thing to deal with. And that's because, well, that's because I worry about the I worry about the well-being of our little community here. Mm-hmm. Consequently, I want to let you know about the latest nutritional supplement from Horn Labs and the hard-working scientists therein. Yes, that's right, Laconic Lovage. Laconic Lovage from Horn Labs will put a smile on your face, a gleam and a twinkle in your eye. It'll put a skip in your step, and whatever it is that you feel like isn't right, it'll make it feel much, much better. That's right, Laconic Lovage from Horn Labs. Vegan, GMO-free, gluten-free, free-range, cruelty-free, Laconic Lovage from Horn Labs. Another bullshit nutritional supplement from Horn Labs, because we couldn't be a real radio program without a bullshit nutritional supplement to hustle to the credulous. That's right, for only $103.42, you can get a 3-month supply of Laconic Lovage from Horn Labs. And, well, you'll just start taking it right away. And if you order that 3-month supply right away, we'll also send you a little bundle of meaningless test strips so that you can see, just as we claim, that there is absolutely no nutritional value whatsoever to Laconic Lovage from Horn Labs. But thanks to the hardworking Perform, who Laconic Lovage substitutes, etc., 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 Laconic Lovage from Horn Labs. Don't we all feel better now, Brother Deacon Asa asking, but Bob, which is not in any wise a gimmick infringement, does Iconic Luggage, no, Brother Deacon Asa, Laconic Lovage. See, you're gonna have you need more Laconic Lovage in your diet, there, Brother Deacon Asa. That way, you'll you won't have such a hard time understanding me. Does iconic luggage help one stand one's beer brought on its end? I'm asking for a friend. Why, it certainly does. It will make it'll make your beer brought jump like a snake in a microwave. Or it won't, if that's not what, because it's all in the mind, because there's nothing in laconic lovage from Horn. Yes, right, right. Randy and PA, White Rose Society is so dead it won't play on iTunes on my back. Oh, well, obviously the server there has not been treated. They are wanting to know, hey, Bob, those test strips, are they tested? Absolutely, Silent R. They are tested by only the most rigorous bullshit standards, the same rigorous bullshit standards to which laconic lovage itself is subjected. Order yours today. Operators are not standing by. It's not a free call. In fact, it's no call at all. All right, are we ready to face the evening now? So here we go. Yep. Because there's lots of ugly and crazy to. Well, remember Titanic Tuesday. Titanic Tuesday comes. Going back to a time many, many, many years ago when our buddy Jim was listening to local right-wing radio and heard Steve, West Virginia's and possibly the nation's most stentorian monotone, opine on answering the question from one of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers, Steve, how come it is that there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? We ain't no swears near the beach. And Steve, in that absolutely mind-bending monotone, replied,
well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No word yet on the movement of the big wooden Caesar salad bowl. No word. Probably still down there in the depths of the North Atlantic Ocean. But Steve was a real thinky right-winger. And consequently, we dedicate Tuesdays to examples of attempts at right-wing intellect. They don't have very big brains. They don't have much in the way of brains at all, but that doesn't stop them from attempting to, you know, pretend they know how to use them. Well, in answer to your question, Arthur, is lysemic luggage, hearing problems, need more laconic luggage, meticulously studied and assayed for purity and effectiveness by the FDA and come with their stamp of approval? It absolutely does not, because you don't want big government in your bullshit nutritional supplements. Let's just be clear about that. That is crazy, Steve. I already told you, it's a fundraising-free Titanic Tuesday. Still, Steve says, I'm going to do something crazy. I'd like to put a $25 challenge on the table. Well, I'll be darned. Okay, well, there it is. If anybody would care to match it, Steve will then kick in 25 bucks, and your 10 will become 20, your 5, 10, whatever. But there's not going to be any further fundraising. Under the subject line, you may be aware, coming from Ron and Raleigh, today, Sam Cedar was thrown under the bus by MSNBC. I thought that was yesterday. Because of the rat-fucking of Mike What's-His-Fuck, Cernovich. That's Lower Slavovian, Cernovich is Lower Slavovian for What's-His-Fuck. It's obvious that satire is beyond the understanding of the suits at MSNBC. It seems the right wing has found a way to screw progressive talkers aside from accusing those on the left of touching someone without their permission, while those on the right will deny and keep on running. Yep.
One of the... I don't have to worry about it. I'm not getting a check. And I can tell you with no... I can tell you with no fear whatsoever, and also with no reservations whatsoever, that what they did to Sam Cedar was goddamn criminal, and beyond being criminal, stupid. Real, real, no kidding, stupid. Sam had a contract with MSNBC. And MSNBC decided to part company with Sam because professional rat right-wing rat fucker, namely Mike Cernovich, dug into Sam's Twitter feed and found one in 2009, and I explained this the other night, a tweet in which Sam, who is a good, decent human being and a good dad and a good all-around guy, was mercilessly mocking people who were trying to rehabilitate the reputation of known kiddie rapist Roman Polanski. And, yep, that's right. Stephen, New York, it's a single, just nothing but subject line. IOKIYAR, duh. Right. So Sam issued a tweet that said something like, gosh, I hope if my daughter is ever raped, she's raped by a rapist with who's a brilliant auteur and has a great sense of mise-en-scène. Which is directorial talk, artsy-fartsy movie talk for being able to put together a scene real well. Or something like that. There was some sort of breathless news out of MSNBC saying that, I can tell you we were disgusted by the tweet. Just disgusted! Well, if they took that tweet seriously and not as the satire and parody for which it was intended, then they're probably equally disgusted by that ad they run constantly for those breathing strips that show a guy in his tighty whities standing with his back to the camera at the refrigerator saying, "Honey, where's the habaneros?" Because I got to tell you, that's disgusting to me. And the human body doesn't disgust me. It's the way the scene is put together. And by the way, why is it that it's always the guy doing the snoring? Do those people at Theravent not have a commercial where the wife snoring is the problem? Now, do women not snore? Is every CPAP machine in America sold, rented, provided to, whatever, some dude who apparently only owns a pair of tighty-whitey underwear and goes wandering to the refrigerator and says, "Honey, where's the habaneros?" I don't know. You know, when you start considering gender, it's hard to stop. Because it's sort of like... Well, you know that old joke, the two young fish who are swimming along one morning and the old fish comes swimming along the other way, and as he passes them, he says, "Water feels pretty good this morning." And the two young fish look at each other and say, "What's this water he's talking about?" That something can be so deeply ingrained into your consciousness that you don't even think about it. Well, I think it's that way with gender. Well, we won't tell anybody you said that, Sparky. Sparky said, "Yes, they do, Bob." And Silent R. Lamar says, "Yes, Bob, my wife can shake the walls, too." Anatole pointing out, "My mom snores something awful." Steve from Georgistan, "Every woman I've shared a bed with can saw some logs, man, despite their good looks." I think what Steve is saying is that he has never... shared a bed with an unattractive woman, and I just agree is what I do here. I just agree. But gender is ingrained, and we don't think about it. And so consequently, we have to rely on people who are not necessarily comfortable with concepts of gender to point out things about it. And you know what? I'm the better for it. I'm a better person for having had that brought to my attention, because it, in many ways, it expands the richness of the human experience. At least that's how I see it. And so I begin to question things. Maybe in the last couple of weeks you heard my curiosity about color. These ads are generated by, and we've had our fun. Every time he writes to me now, every time he sends me a message now, Steve from Georgistan addresses me as Gordo. Yeah, he really does. Because we've had such laughs with Gordo the dog. But all these ads are crafted by ad agencies, and some are certainly better than others. For instance, the ad agency that came up with the "Hello, ladies" ads for Old Spice, which smells like shit, and everything they create—I don't care what scent it is—smells like shit. But their ads are so damn good that you almost forgive them for it, because you're never going to buy any. But everybody's not that good. And because I probably watch MSNBC more than I watch any other channel, I mean, what else? I watch news and I watch sports. Occasionally I'll wander over, and if I see that there's a movie playing that I want to see, I'll wander over and check that out until the first commercial hits, and I'll go, oh, wait, this is commercial TV. Screw that. I can always just order the movie and see it without the edits. Two channels were running the other night. The Field of Dreams was on at the same time as Beetlejuice. Now, bouncing back and forth between those two things got a little confusing after a while. I'll just tell you, it is. But yeah, Ron and Raleigh, yeah, I'm aware of it, and I think everybody else is too. Larry just sent me a message saying, it's sickening that Chris Hayes in this case, and even his former colleague at Airless America, Rachel Maddow, are not sticking up for Sam Cedar and just continuing the selling of their souls to the company store. Just my take on it, for what it's worth. I understand. But look, nobody doing that work is independently wealthy. Although I'll tell you this much, for what it's worth. I guess it was yesterday on Charlie Pierce's Twitter feed. He made an oblique reference to the Cedar matter. And lo and behold, Lawrence O'Donnell liked that tweet. And that's probably enough to get him in hot water. Because you see, what you have to understand here is that people who are ostensibly progressive, left, liberal, Democrats, what have you, are held to a different standard than people on the right. I mean, Jesus Christ, how long ago was the falafel tape from Bill O'Reilly? And he continued on the air after that. How long ago before that was the, fuck it, we'll do it live. Thing sucks. And he continued on the air. such is not the case with liberals and progressives. You'll recall that Keith Olbermann made his exit from MSNBC as the result of something as blasé as a political campaign contribution. That was unbearable. So, different standards. And since no one there is independently wealthy, and they'd like to continue to be employed, I'm not surprised by the silence. Privately, they're probably outraged. But privately is all it can be. Because the money talks. Keith. sometimes I just tap into things without even knowing I'm doing it. There's apparently an undercurrent here. Keith says, Bob, I had to double nail all the pictures on the walls because my dear wife snores so bad. And yet, there's no ads showing a woman standing in nothing but, say, her underwear with her back to the camera in front of a refrigerator saying, honey, where's the habaneros? And I'm still trying to sort out what it is about habaneros that makes you snore. Unless they're deliberately trying to just work in a good poop joke somewhere along the way, because, well, there's nothing funnier than a poop joke. Right? Steve in New York says, subject line, Old Spice. I always thought it smelled like my elementary school guidance counselor, Mr. Mikowski, who wore white patent leather shoes. I'll take your word for it on Mr. Mikowski. Yeah, Marty says, Field of Dreams, I'd have held out for Bull Durham. Well, it was broadcast TV. It's not like I could order it up. Yes, as a matter of fact, he was. Marty asking, wasn't this Cernovich character one of the pushers of Pizzagate? Yeah, and he was involved in Gamergate. And he's a self-righteous slimer troller and attacker of women. Asa, ixnay on the Abok May. Asa says, "Okay, I'll take you at your word that nobody doing journalism is independently wealthy." Then how do you explain the Horn Gulfstream 6, the Maybach, the Holland & Holland Edition Range Rover, the indoor saltwater pool, the Cabana Boys? How do you explain all that, Kincaid? Well, daggummit, they're imaginary. That's how I explain it. They all exist in my head. And, well, some of it in Agnes's. I don't really have a lot of room for Cabana Boys in mine, but I won't speak for Agnes. And she's not here to speak for herself. She's off 90 miles away at the moment. But that's how. Oh, and that is some damn Maybach, I want you to know. But it really can't hold a candle to the Porsche 911 Turbo. Oh, no. No, it can't. Mm-mm. Actually, I don't much care for the 9. I don't like turbos. I like normally aspirated vehicles because turbos have a way of burning out. So, you know, the Porsche, in my imagination, is actually a 911 Targa 4S. Yeah. That's the Porsche that's in my mind's garage. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's a Porsche, not a Ferrari. I want to be able to drive it without having to work on it for 2 hours. That's why it's a Porsche, not an Aston Martin, because I don't want to have to live by the rule that if there's no oil on the floor, there's no oil in the car. So, you know, you get the idea. Sorry, Ron, I haven't, and there's an explanation. Ron says, have you binged on Star Trek Discovery yet? I still would like your take, and I would like to give that take, but Agnes and things like that, Agnes and I watch together, and I really do try to be considerate, and so consequently, I don't watch anything that I think she's going to want to see until we're together, so... If I can get her home for more than a week at a time, maybe over the holidays, there'll be some Star Trek Discovery binge watching, and then I'll be ready whenever season two rolls back around. Randy out there says you need a Tesla with insane mode. Well, okay, I'll take one of those too. Sure. We can just tuck it over in the corner. By the Gulfstream 5 and the Maybach. You know what's really nice about having an indoor saltwater pool? The indoor saltwater pool crocodiles with frickin' laser beams on their heads. Oh boy, yeah. And by the way, we got a little break yesterday. There wasn't a whole lot of coal smoke going on, but lo and behold, my neighbor got up early this morning and threw a few lumps in the stove and sat there and yuck. If I had the spare scratch, honest to God, there's a million things that need done here at the mansion. But if I had the spare scratch, as I told Agnes, I'd buy him a pellet stove. I would. I'd buy him a pellet stove and a year's supply of pellets. So but I don't. And I mentioned it to Agnes, and she said, well, no, he'd just sell that for pills and keep burning coal. Agnes is the realist here in the family. And a gentle reminder of the efficacy of IOKIYAR comes courtesy of Bill. Over at MSNBC, Bill says, Scarborough was donating to Republicans for years until 2011. He's still working there. It's okay if you're a Republican. And that's how that works. So let's get to some news, shall we? One last little thing, just a consumer recommendation here, unpaid product placement. The only place I've seen them or heard of them happening, maybe somewhere else, some other grocery chain for you, little teeny tiny mandarin oranges called Sunrays. You can just about flick the peeling open with them with your thumb and just run your thumb around, about the size of a golf ball. You can pop the whole thing in, they are magnificent. Like I said, I heard of them at Aldi. You may find them somewhere else, but if you do find them, grab them, because they are as sweet as candy. And, you know, this is the time of year when you want to get some good vitamin C. This is not a bullshit product hustle. You really do want to keep the vitamin C count up so as to not be laid low by... Then it helps. It helps. Randy's just full of things I need this evening. Randy says, you need a central heat pump, Bob, using geothermal water wells. Well, that's a lovely idea, too. And we can drill the wells out next to the hangar for the Gulfstream 6. Absolutely. Uh-huh. Yeah, Marty says, indoor saltwater pool. Have you nicked Doctor Who's TARDIS? Doctor Who's TARDIS. It's my TARDIS. No, never mind. Because that gets confusing really quick. So there really is news out there, and it really is... It really is Titanic Tuesday. And I've been kind of rough on Arizona... on retiring Arizona Senator Jeff Flake. But you got to give credit where credit's due. On social media, on Twitter, Jeff Flake posted a picture of a check that he wrote today. Doug Jones for U.S. Senate, pay to the order of Doug Jones for U.S. Senate, $100. Signed, Jeff Flake, memo, country over party. So he actually put his money where his alleged principles are. Well, good for you, Jeff. The race is pretty snug in Alabama at present, according to a number of polls that have come out of late. Latest poll is of 1,276 likely voters. Big League Gravis conducted it. He's running 48% to 44% more is over Jones. But an Emerson poll and a CBS News YouGov poll show the edge at only 3 and 6 percentage points. And anywhere from 4 on down is within the margin of error. Hey, that's nice. John with an email says, independently wealthy, Rachel Maddow's net worth is now $20 million, new contract, $7 million a year. Son of a bitch, I didn't know that. Ron in Raleigh tells me the new Porsche 911 Targa is only available with a 4-cylinder turbo. The 6-cylinder normally aspirated air-cooled engine has gone the way of the Buffalo. Well, I knew the air-cooled had. I thought there was still a water-cooled 6 in it. Oh, well. I don't spend enough time with Porsche porn, obviously. But, it's a tight race in Alabama. And as I said before, it would be nice if people who are left, progressive, liberal, Democrat, whatever, would stop posting things on Twitter like, when Roy Moore is elected to the Senate. But of course, the real kick was the re-entry of the Republican National Committee into that race. It was also par for the course and within type. Oh yeah, absolutely. Because as I saw in an article, I can't remember where, earlier today, you remember. Remember Todd Akin and forcible rape a few years ago? And how all the Republicans went, oh my, and ran away from him. Well, we're not like that. No, we're not. By the end of that campaign, they were back to funneling money to him. And then there's, Trump himself. And so it's no surprise, but this is a little different. And as I said on social media today, if you are a Republican in the United States of America, any Republican anywhere, and you do not publicly disavow and disown and disassociate and distance yourself from Roy Moore, and that evil, skeevy little perv gets elected to the Senate, if, not when, if, then every Republican who did not disavow and disown becomes tainted as someone who cannot be reliably counted upon to oppose child molestation. That's a hell of a note. Oh, yes, it is. So we are a week away. We're coming up on probably about another hour and 19 minutes or so will be the hour at which the polls will close in Alabama a week from tonight. But Doug Jones continues to campaign, and he isn't giving up. I suggest the rest of us not either. Now, something bizarre happened on CNN today. I mean, we've had lots of clips of lots of weird shit that's gone on. But Janet Porter is a real Lulu. And Janet Porter appeared with Poppy Harlow this morning on CNN. Now, what CNN didn't do is give much in the way of background as to who Janet Porter is. She was just introduced as a spokesperson for Roy Moore. Well, Janet Porter isn't just somebody who crawled out from under a rock. I mean, she's definitely somebody from under a rock, but she's a person, she's a personality over in the fetus fetish community. And so, consequently, people might be forgiven for just thinking that, she's just one of those evangelicals. But no, among other things, she's a right-wing hate radio hack. She's the founder and president of an evangelical group called Faith to Action, and she is a big time fetus fetishist. But she's also taken time to attack the idea of climate change. She's a maggot. Okay, she's one of the maggots. Make America great again. Make America gag again. Trumpansy scum. She's a writer over at Wingnut Daily. She's a birther, okay? Her big claim to fame is the fetal heartbeat bill. She's referred to as the godmother of the heartbeat moment. And so she showed up this morning on CNN as a surrogate for gropey Roy. And I didn't realize it, but Poppy Harlow is 8 months pregnant. Oh, that's good to know. Ron in the far frozen north says 5x5 for the next 15 minutes in Ottawa. I take my horniness when I can get it. Well, we're a community that way. But the way that Janet, I don't know. Maybe it won't affect you the way it did me. But there's a sort of Handmaid's Tale creepiness about this. So 15 minutes till 7 o'clock in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, and this is your official hockey puck warning. Get a good bite down on it. Get it seated real good. Make a couple of loops with the duct tape, because you're going to need it. Because like I said, this is just creepy as shit. So Poppy Harlow has welcomed Janet Porter, who is not necessarily identified as the wild-eyed fetus fetishist that she is. You know what? Maybe it's time for a new term. She's a fetus fascist. See if you can say that several times fast. Fetus fascist, fetus fascist. Nope, can't get past two. She's a fetus fetish. What did I try to tell you? She's a fetus fascist. You know, we work with the language here because, well, we love the language here. So she welcomes her to the program, and then this happens.
Us, and let me get right to it.
So Thank you. It's great to be with you. And by the way, congratulations on your unborn child. That's the reason why I came down as a volunteer to speak for Judge Roy Moore, because he'll stand for the rights of babies like yours in the womb, where his opponent will support killing them up until the moment of birth.
Congratulations on your fetus. Yeah, that's right. Doug Jones wants to eat Poppy Harlow's unborn baby. I'm just kind of taking a minute here to let the flabbergast pass over and away from you. We don't dare be shocked by that, but these are monsters, okay? She came out swinging because she was, Janet Porter is a hate radio veteran. And she's trying to take control of the issue, lickety-split.
Janet, thank you for being with us, and I appreciate the congratulations on our son on the way. Now, let's get right to this. First of all, the call between the president from Air Force One yesterday and Roy Moore, the two spoke after the president endorsed Roy Moore. What can you tell us about that phone call?
Sure. Here's what he had to say. Basically, he knows Judge Roy Moore is a fighter. He's denied all the false, baseless allegations, and he fully supports him. In fact, this is why. He said it in his tweet, that we need his vote on stopping crime, illegal immigration, border wall, military, pro-life, the VA, judges, and the Second Amendment. That's why he says we need Judge Roy Moore, and he's fully behind him. And now, as you know, not only has the RNC backed him, the governor's backed him, the Honorable Congressman Mo Brooks,
Mo Brooks, Les Brames. Yeah, Mo Brooks. Doug Jones was a U.S. attorney. And I don't think at any point in time he ever tried to take anybody's shooting gun away. Never, not once. He is not strong on the Second Amendment. But it's that tough on crime part that they keep getting. And of course, we could...
Dr. James Dobson, Dr. Ben Carson.
Oh, yes, Dr. James Dobson. I haven't thought of Dr. James Dobson in ages. Proud graduate of the University of Southern California, Dr. Dobson. One of those doctors who couldn't apply a Band-Aid without killing somebody. But it was several years back, and I'll just remind us all so that we can keep in mind who it is that's endorsing Grabby Roy. It was Dr. James Dobson who said some years back that the best way for a father to keep his son from catching tegay was to get in the shower naked with said little boy, and he said start him young, about 3, 4, 5 years old, get in the shower naked with him, and show him your dick. No, really? Really? That's how Dr. James Dobson said that fathers should prevent their little sons from becoming gay by getting in the shower naked with them and pointing their penis at them. I wish I was kidding. I would live more happily in the world I inhabit if I was kidding. I wish I was just lying through my teeth, but I'm not. He even put it in print, I do believe. This is also the same Dr. James Dobson who said that that the proper disciplining of children involved beating them until they cry real tears. You know, not Not those bullshit sniffles, but until you've hurt the child enough, inflicted enough pain and harm on the child to make them cry without restraint, to make them weep openly from the pain that they are feeling and that is being administered to them. In the name of Jesus! Yes, amen and amen. Yes, these are the endorsers of Roy Moore.
We have Governor Sarah Palin, and most importantly, by the way, we also had a five.
Oh my God, they've got Caribou Barbie.
100 pro-life and pro-family leaders that have just signed on to this letter of support. To
Janet,
Jeff
let
Roy
me
Moore.
Ask you about the letter.
Now, is that the same letter there, Janet, that Mrs. Roy Moore that he first noticed back when she was 15 years old and having a little dancing recital? Is that the same one she sent out that people then turned around and said, get my name off of that because that's bullshit. I signed that a long time ago. I hadn't signed anything lately. I don't know.
Most importantly, the people of Alabama support it.
Let me ask you about the legislation. For example, the Republican tax bill that just made it through the Senate.
Yeah. Then the weird continues. I mean, this interview went on, if you can call it that, an interview. Went on for 17 minutes. It was a 17-minute long free publicity, free ad for Roy Moore. I watched the whole thing, and I got to tell you that poor Poppy tries to pin her down, but she's just not very good at it. I don't know how many millions of dollars she's getting a year. But it apparently is not enough to... And see, there it is on the font. Jane Porter. No, her name's Janet. So immediately, Jane Porter, spokesperson, Roy Moore campaign. Not Janet Porter, wild-eyed, fire-breathing, right-wing, hate-monger, fetus fascist. This is called normalization. The for-profit media persists in this notion that these freaks, these weirdos, these evangelicals are just the same as you and me. They aren't. The space between the molecules of their existence is filled by nothing but hate and bigotry and hypocrisy and, you know, just plain outright evil. In the name of Jesus, of course. As always.
More, and the most they can come up with is that he's a really nice guy, and he gave my fiance a gift, and our families exchanged Christmas cards.
So you're not
Christmas
answering
cards.
My question. My question
me,
was just about
friend.
My question was just about Lee Korfman. Going back to her, going back to the first allegation of these women against Judge Roy
Moore.
Well,
the first allegation
has
been disputed.
Repeatedly voted for Republican candidates.
Maybe she has, maybe she hasn't. What's lacking in all of this is a cross-examination.
There's a cross-examination lacking. I can think of several people who would probably be very, very good at cross-examining Roy Moore, and they will not be allowed within a country mile of Roy Moore. I mean, why? Again, as I've noted before, why do you think Roy Moore hasn't sued to get his hands on that yearbook, the signature in which looks exactly like the signature on the graduation card that came with $10 for Debbie Wesson Gibson?
Yeah.
I know. Hey, look, Marty. I take it for the team, okay? I do this so y'all don't have to. Marty says, 17 minutes? Man, don't you know your brain cells are precious? Well, that they are. But somebody's got to do it.
Is oath-taking. Is the evidence examination.
I just asked you. I just asked you if Roy Moore would go under oath and testify before Congress on this. And instead of answering that with yes or no, you said, well, it's Al Franken that leads the committee.
I don't think he needs to bow to the demands of Gloria Allred. I don't think he needs to bow to the demands of Gloria Allred.
I'm asking you that question as an American citizen.
Al Franken
I'm asking
in the
you,
Senate
this
committee.
Is an
Al Franken, Bruga Bruga, Al Franken. You know what? Al Franken's not accused of being a gropey, feely little abuser of teenage girls. So there's that. like I said, this goes on, oh Jesus, this goes on for another 6 minutes. And she's going to, and Jane Porter there is going to bring the baby back up into it. Because Poppy Harlow is going to, will ask her again about child abuse and child molestation. And Janet Porter, this disgusting creature, is going to say,
if you care about child abuse, you should be talking about the fact that Judge Moore stands for protection for the rights of babies, like the eight-month-old baby that you're carrying now. Doug Jones says you can take the life of that baby.
And, well, because she's a tough, hard-hitting, for-profit media journalist, Poppy Harlow responds, let's leave my child out of this. Let's leave my child out of this. You tell her, sister. Just once, wouldn't you like to see one of these, one of these folks just say, get this idiot off my air? Or if they were really, really serious, what CNN and these other networks could do is give a cough switch to the host so that she can push it and say the fetus fascist's voice will be muted and she can go on and finish the sentence and explain to her, I'll be happy to unmute you as soon as you answer the question. Now, I'm going to ask you the question again, and if you don't answer it, I'm going to mute you some more. And put the jackass, the fetus fascist, in the position of having to rip off her microphone and stand up and walk away in a huff. It's the only way to deal with these freaks. Well, yeah, that too. Earth says, the real issue is if Judas hasn't denounced Lex Luthor, will Hillary show where she buried Vince Foster?
Hillary? The devil!
Yeah, I gotta work on the reverb there. Just a minute.
The devil!
That's better, but I'll have to tweak that after the program. The setting's been changed. I don't guess I've ever seen it. Larry says there was a movie called Backwoods that reminds me of that creepy lady who Poppy interviewed, especially with her undertones in congratulating Poppy on her pregnancy. Well, thank you, Hung Like Jesus. Hung Like Jesus says, hey, Bob, just dropping in to say hello and keep the heat up on these fucking people. Well, we do what we can. I wish we could do more. That woman needs, Janet Porter, needs to be upbraided. You know, she needs one of those, at long last, madam, have you no decency speeches. But of course, if she did that, then somebody would probably, I know, I can bear, it's so terrifying, I can scarcely utter it aloud. Somebody might call Poppy Harlow a liberal. I know, it's the horror. And yes, along the way, Janet Porter, fetus fascist, also said that every one of the women who have come forward to talk about the time when they were groped by Roy Moore, every one of them is like a criminal who's trying to get revenge. God. So, You know, that's the filibobster, pretty much. It's a minute past the hour. God knows we've got other stuff to go into. Orrin Hatch. Hey, Orrin, buddy. I still believe Anita Hill. Really, I do. Well, that is a good question. Ron in the far, at least briskly cool north, says, and the big question, what the fuck happened to those 30 pieces of silver? I'd like to say that they went to Jesus's brother Bob, but that's probably not the case. Yeah, right, yeah. Wait a minute. I knew somebody had to have that tucked away waiting for me. I put the straight lines out and I just wait for, you know, Scott and Punky. Let her rip her mic off and leave in a huff. If that's too soon, she can leave in a minute and a huff. Hence the cowbell. Yes. Oh, no, Senator Orrin Hatch has declared that we can't fund the Children's Health Insurance Program, the CHIP program, because we don't have any money. We can't afford it. We can afford to cut corporate tax rates. We can afford to provide tax dodges for people to write off their Gulfstream 6s. But we can't afford to keep health insurance on a few million American children. Great guy, that Orrin Hatch. Great guy. Oh, well, okay. The cowbells are beginning to run fast and free. Brother Deacon Asa says, if these people are so vehemently against abortion, why then did they glorify it by electing the result of a partial abortion to the position of president? Huh? Right. Yep. There is that. Oh, and it's Tuesday. It is Tuesday, and that means we've got the Green News Report coming up, but there is some breaking news. A short time ago, Pierce County, Washington, looks like the NRA death lottery needle has, the roulette wheel has stopped with the needle pointing at Graham, Washington. Graham Kapowson High School of 108th Avenue East in Graham, Washington. Police in Graham, Washington are searching for suspects after a shooting at a local high school Tuesday evening. One victim was found in a parking lot by the football field. One was located in a locker room. Both were taken to hospitals. Yeah. You know, hopefully they'll survive. So I'd say we've got a pretty good start to the program this evening. If you would like to be part of it, well, daggummit, this is Conversation Radio, and you're mighty welcome to be part of it. You know how, right? 304-574-8178. Or, from anywhere on the planet that isn't all firewalled off or whatever, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. Bob Kincaid Horn. And that'll get you right into the program. Note coming in from Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve. Subject line, but I only watch PBS. The only sure cure for the asshats who dominate in media is to simply ignore them. But really, how do you ignore something that is neither so real or illusory as the advertising stream that is the only thing of importance anyway? It is no accident that we are absorbed by the perpetual gush of products and false choices, more so than with the presenters, talking heads, and clowns who exist for no reason other than the utter impossibility of reason. We're a culture of unreason, of post-relevance. Their positions and opinions are too easy to follow anyway. You'd have to be a moron not to already have made a decision or weighed the facts at some other time. We enjoy arguing about the better of two or three or 20 brand names, but also seriously contemplate the ridiculous babblings of a tweeting shithead who is merely pretending even to himself to actually be president of the United States. No one is fooled by any of this, least of all those who are benefiting the most, in spades. You may have noticed that you are spending 50% of your time attending to the important stuff on commercial television, the ads, and the other half wondering what all the fuss is about, the noise, even when you can't know or don't care when the entertainment ends and the serious act of selling more shit begins, child molestation or sleeping pills, evil politicians or better dog chow. It all runs to something like hysterical consumption in the final tally. Regards, Steve on the Gulf Coast. Oh, and yes, Jason, in regard to the news of the shooting in Washington, Jason says, thoughts and prayers. We all know the NRA death cult routine. Ron, in the frosty north, points out, personally, I'm impressed that Trump selected Kellyanne Cumaway as his person in charge of the opiates program, whatever that turns out to be. She's obviously a personal witness to the mental devastation that can occur from overindulgence. I just looked her up on the interweb, and she's only 27 years old, obviously being rode hard and put away wet while under the influence. Isn't good for the complexion. Oh, I think you're being facetious there, but you know, who the hell am I? If she's 27 years old, there's an even rougher-looking portrait in a closet somewhere at her house. Oh, maybe we're image shaming. Too bad. But no, the point Steve makes is well taken. There's a reason that I'm captivated by the ads. Because there's more to think about there. There's more to analyze than a lot of what is being presented as content. And Steve's analysis is spot on. Ron, different, the other Ron, the one in Raleigh, subject line, don't forget. These Republicans with the nectarine Nero somehow have managed to find another $54 billion to piss away down the rat hole of the Pentagon. Where do they find it? Where does it come from? I know. Meanwhile, Larry says, Orrin was hatched out of a rotten egg. Get it, Orrin? Hatched. I see what he did there. Orrin was hatched out of a rotten egg, buried in goose shit. No way he was hatched out of a precious little fetus. Ay, ay, ay. So, that's a take-a-break spot. And then we'll delve into the insanity, back into the insanity, or into whatever it is that you want to bring to the table. Like I said, Green News Report coming up, and this is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid with a long-distance dedication, the second night in a row for Grabby Hands Roy down in Alabama. Here you go, Roy. It's the wrong song. Well, it's kind of the wrong song, but kind of. Maybe this is it. There it is. This is for you, Roy. Thinking back to your halcyon days of your early 30s.
In the shape of something wild. Stranger dressed in black, she's a hungry child. No one knows who she is or what her name is. I don't know where she came from or what her game is.
Hot child in the city. Hot child.
It's Tuesday, December 5, 2017.
These actions will modify the National Monument's designations of both Bear's Ears and Grand Staircase Escalante.
Trump rolls back federal protections for two national monuments in Utah.
He doesn't even have enough respect to go visit those lands.
Native American tribes and conservation groups file suit to stop him. Republican tax bill slashes renewable energy. Plus, investment firm warns cities address climate risks or you'll be downgraded.
All of those uplifting downgrades straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
I hope you all get coal in your stocking this year. In fact, tonight's show is brought to you by coal. Coal. It's hard oil, I think.
This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, Donald Trump is taking an unprecedented action to roll back presidential declarations by his predecessors?
Yes, President Donald Trump on Monday announced the largest rollback of protected lands in the history of the nation. At an event in Utah, Trump signed a presidential proclamation cutting 2 million acres out of two national monuments designated for special protection by President Obama and President Bill Clinton. He shrunk the size of Bear's Ears National Monument by 85% and Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument by 45%. In a strong dose of Orwellian doublespeak, Trump claimed that removing protections will protect the land.
Our precious national treasures must be protected, and they, from now on, will be protected. Yeah!
So in removing the protection for the land to allow things like mining and drilling on it, Donald Trump is telling these people that he is protecting their land.
That's exactly right. His move means that these two monuments, which are big tourism draws due to their spectacular beauty and outdoor recreation opportunities, he will now open up those lands to mining, logging, and drilling, and leave tens of thousands of Native American ruins, artifacts, and petroglyphs unprotected from looters. Regional Native American tribes had carefully worked for decades to secure federal protection for those areas. Navajo Nation President Russell Begaye called it, quote, a sad day in Indian country and a sad day for Americans, noting that the government had already, quote, taken millions of acres of my people's land. Within hours, Native American tribes and environmental groups filed suit to stop those cuts. On MSNBC, Navajo Nation Attorney General Ethel Branch said the Trump administration did not consult with regional Native American tribes, as they claimed.
He doesn't even have enough respect to go visit those lands and visit with the people who live in that community or the sovereign nations that call those lands their homelands. They think that talking to one Native American person, one Navajo person, constitutes consultation with the Navajo Nation, and he's gravely mistaken.
The legal battle to come could very well alter the course of American land conservation and open up other cherished protected lands for development.
I wonder how the Republicans' stolen U.S. Supreme Court will ultimately decide.
The massive Republican tax cut bill that was rushed to passage in the U.S. Senate late night on Friday must still be reconciled with the House version. But both versions take aim at the renewable energy industry and consumers by rolling back industry tax credits for large-scale utility, wind, and solar projects, and harming consumers by killing the $7,500 federal electric vehicle tax credit that helps average Americans purchase non-polluting electric cars. But Republicans kept the fossil fuel industry's billions in annual permanent tax breaks. Those are fine.
And those are permanent. As Republicans continue to pick winners and losers by picking oil and coal and dirty energy over clean energy.
Meanwhile, Bloomberg News reports that China has announced it is extending its electric vehicle tax rebate for consumers. Finally, global investment giant Moody's has a stark warning for U.S. cities. Address your climate risks or we will downgrade your bonds. Moody's Investor Service says it will now factor the cost of climate change impacts into its credit ratings for state and local bonds because governments that don't actively prepare for rising sea levels and more frequent extreme weather disasters are at much greater risk of default. Moody's Managing Director Lenny Jones said, quote, if you're exposed, we know that. We're going to ask questions about what you're going to do to mitigate that exposure, and that's taken into your credit ratings. But the Trump administration just made that more difficult on Monday, disbanding a multi-agency panel created by President Obama that was supposed to help cities prepare critical systems and infrastructure for resilience against the impacts of climate change.
Incredible that we have to rely on corporate credit bureaus to try to push states and cities to do the right thing, since our president will only do the opposite. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
So give some credit where it's due. Give props, say you know who, you know who.
Oh, that was kind of upbeat and cheerful, wasn't it? It certainly took some of the creepy out of Hot Child in the City. Ugh, Nick Gilder. Ugh. Canadian, wasn't he? I can't remember. No, couldn't be Canadian. No, no way. But so, that's... and meanwhile, Jason is coming up with creepy rock and roll teenage girl ballad after creepy rock and roll teenage girl ballad. So I have a feeling we're going to have long distance dedications to Hansy Roy for at least up to Election Day. Yeah, that's the rock and roll does have its disgusting side, doesn't it? like I said, lines are open if you want to engage in conversation. That's cool. If you don't, I can fill a Bobster the night away. That's not a problem. It's just a little more fun when there's conversation involved. Oh, what else? This. So every now and then I see a story that just sort of ties into a little bit of relevance for me. Like millions of other young men, I was in a fraternity in college. I was a Fiji. Got secret handshakes and high signs and low signs and mottos and things you can say and things you don't say. And gosh, we had robes and rituals and all kinds of fun stuff. My fraternity was founded on May the 1st, 1848, at what was then Jefferson College in Cannonsburg, PA. And as much as people now tend to think, and God knows the fraternity system works hard to make sure they think that way, that fraternities are pretty much disgusting social clubs for the scions of the young scions of the elite. There's some truth in that. There is. But at the time that I was in college, there were a whole lot of just plain old middle-class kids in fraternities as well. It gets a little more elite and snotty, say, in SEC schools. You want a beer? My daddy's rich. Yeah, that kind of thing. But it wasn't terribly elite, the chapters that I was in. The college I started at was a teeny tiny little private liberal arts college where something like 7/8 of the student population, and it had formerly been an all-male school, only in the last couple of years had they begun admitting women, and they immediately immediately colonized a couple of sororities there. Because people tend to want to associate in groups, and the cooking was better in the fraternity houses than it was in the dorms, and it was, dating was a little easier. I'm not talking about anything skeevy or anything, but no, and it was easier for the men and for the women. Okay, thank you, Ron. I don't feel so alone now. Ron says you should know that I was a proud member of Tau Kappa Epsilon, the Teeks. My membership lasted for 2 months until I left that school to go preserve freedom. Well, we've got another Teek in the Horn Family Community Congregation. Our buddy Tosh was a Teek as well. So there you go. I don't know if we've got any other Fijis out there in the Horn Community Congregation. But like I said, the meal plans were better. The parties were better. There was some hazing and whatnot. And that was supposed to have gone away. I think we probably had access to a little bit better weed. But be that as it may, stereotypes often have some validity because, they're stereotypes. That's right. And another cowbell for Earther. Earther's just piling them up this evening. Wasn't Trump a member of Kappa Kappa Kappa? Why, yes. No, well, he's a legacy. His daddy was a member of Kappa Kappa Kappa. And he was just let in without having to go through the pledging process. So there's that. But be that as it may, I thought about all of this. And there were a lot of good times. There was a lot of fun. you know, I was in a fraternity with, like I said, with a bunch of middle class kids who, the main thing we were worried about was, you know, having enough money to get through the weekend. Some of us worked outside of, you know, some of us had jobs other than school. Some of my fraternity brothers worked as waiters, because the sororities at West Virginia all had wait staff in their dining halls, and so they would augment their money with waiting tables in the sorority houses. All kinds, you know, there are all kinds of outside jobs, there used to be. Of course, it used to be possible to, you know, just go to college. It's a lot less possible now. There's a reason for that. I think if I had Dr. Bill here to talk with me right now, he'd probably tell me that college, you know, liberal arts educations and college-educated people make different political choices quite often than do folks who couldn't go. This explains, in many ways, perhaps, the closeness of the election in Alabama. But I had a sure enough nauseating moment earlier. Somehow or another, I had missed this. I was recently re-nauseated when I found out that Ann's boy, Neil Gorsuch, you remember Ann, first EPA administrator ever to be held in contempt of court, maybe contempt of Congress, can't remember. Well, the poison nut didn't fall far from the tree, and her boy Neil, of course, sits on the Supreme Court now. He's the guy who said that a man should freeze to death in his truck instead of going for help if he didn't want to be fired. I don't know how you fire a corpse, but be that as it may, that's some of that high-minded Federalist Society Heritage Foundation cogitation that the right-wing, the wingnut welfare think tanks are so good at. Eh, well, it turns out Ann's boy Neil is a member of my fraternity. Ew. That was enough to make me want to send in my purple. But today I found out that Mike Pencilneck Geek is also a fraternity brother of mine. Jesus. Should have been in my chapter. He could have slipped in, you know, popped into one of the brothers' rooms. We would have put the towel back under the door. Passed him the big old, we had a big old tall bong. It was Graphics. Way back, once upon a time, there was an excellent bong company called Graphics. And they had weighted bases and no choke hole, and you just popped the little, you popped the little bowl out of the slide tube, and that's how it was great bongs. And we had a tall one, and it got broken. And the nearest head shop was a good 30 miles away in Columbia, Missouri. And, you know, middle of the night and everything, it was a crisis, I tell you, a crisis. So somebody had some super glue, and we set about gluing it back together, and a couple of us were fans of that wonderful parody of J.R.R. Tolkien's work that was done by Beard and Kinney at the Harvard Lampoon called Board of the Rings. And in that parody, Aragorn, son of Arathorn, becomes Arrowroot, son of Arrowshirt, heir to the future throne of Tudor. And he carries with him a broken sword called Crona. Crona, the sword that was broken and hastily re-glued. And in those desperate hours in which we sought to glue the bong back together, and when we succeeded, that bong was forevermore known as Crona, the bong that was broken and hastily re-glued. Well, if Mike Pence had slipped through and put the towel back under, pass him Corona, maybe he would be an entirely different person than he is today. And instead of just being the pencil-necked, shit-eating little evangelical weasel that he is. Because he is. Because there's a new story out. Mike Pence, as an undergrad, went to a little Presbyterian, and you know, by Jove, I think my college had been founded by the Presbyterians, too. A little Presbyterian college called Hanover College. And being Presbyterian, they had a strict no-drinking policy. If it had been a Baptist school, they'd have had a no-drinking and no-dancing policy. But it wasn't. It was a Presbyterian school, and they had a no-drinking policy. And Mike Pencilneck Geek pledged and was then initiated into, yes, Phi Gamma Delta, Fiji. That's the bunch. I mean, I don't know if they do it anymore. It was kind of a cultural appropriation sort of thing, but... they used to paint themselves, the guys would paint themselves purple and put on grass skirts and coconut shell bras and, no, really, and long, creepy-looking wigs. And they had Fiji Week, and it was, Phi, it's actually pronounced Phi in Greek, and Gamma, G, Fiji, consequently Fiji, like in the South Pacific. And, yes, so that's, they painted themselves purple, and right. By the way, my chapter was an integrated chapter. I never got painted purple, never did. I don't think they could come up with a purple that would fully cover up the blinding whiteness of me. They couldn't find a version that would cover. Nonetheless, even good little boys at a good little Presbyterian college like Hanover would, in fact, drink beer. And you know what? I'll bet there was even some dope smoking going on. Of course, a good little boy like Mike Pencilneck Geek would never do anything like that. So he was a sophomore, which means, you know, he had completed his pledging. He had been initiated. He was in your sophomore year. You're a noob. You're a newly initiated brother, a nib. And you're one of those until the next pledge class comes through. And so it was that the brothers there at the Fiji chapter at Hanover College decided to get a keg. Now we're not talking about no. They just decided to get a keg. And so in an interview, and the whole article is quite fascinating, over at The Atlantic, there's a profile of Mike Pence. I commend it to you all. You will find it to be quite interesting reading, I'm sure. But sophomore Fiji... Oh, thank you. Arthur says, remember, Bob, they're water pipes. Be cool, man. they got him a keg. I mean, it's fairly innocuous. And it's cheaper than buying cases or bottles or cans. Woo, keg, beer bongs, woo. The campus was dry. Just like, say, the campus at Berea College down in Berea, Kentucky is still a dry campus. Not a few years ago, the Episcopal Bishops Association decided to have their annual meeting on the campus at Berea, and they actually had to ask Mother May I so that these Episcopal priests and bishops could drink wine with their meal, because wine is a big deal in the Episcopal Church. They were given permission. Maybe grudgingly, but they were given permission. But it's a dry campus, and so it was at Hanover. So they had this thing, and all the fraternities operated the same way. If it turned out that you got busted for having your keg, you know, you do the whole Animal House thing, you sneak the keg in, everybody's running around like John Belushi out on the lawn, you know, knees bent running around. And they got the keg in, and if it turned out there was trouble, they had a deal where whoever opened the door would claim that the keg was his, so that the whole chapter would not get collectively punished. And, you know, you did it for the sake of the brotherhood. Oh, well, not Mike Pence. Oh, no. No, no. In that article in The Atlantic, you'll find that Mike Pence dropped the dime on his own fraternity brothers. He called up the dean of student life and said, "We're having an illegal beer bash here, and we've got an illegal keg, and you better do something right away, because I'm sure Jesus is not very happy at all." And so when the knock came at the door, Mike Pence answered the door. And instead of doing, one, he had already phoned it in. He's a rat. And then when the knock came at the door, instead of saying, "Oh, no, it was my keg. I'm sorry, I've sinned, and I humbly ask both your forgiveness and that of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." No, no, no. Instead, Mike Pencilneck Geek said, "The keg's over there. All the sin. It's a whole aluminum barrel full of sin and licentiousness. You had better seize it immediately." This guy would have been awesome in East Germany, or in the Germany of, say, 1937, 1938. What? Oh, the Jews are in the attic. Sieg Heil, y'all.
Yeah, I know.
But that really does. That tells you a lot about the character of a man.
I was only doing it for your own good. You don't need to be drinking here. We're here to study hard and get an education.
He wasn't much of a student, kind of a low B kind of guy. Which is, well, I mean, that's kind of sad. If you're living in a fraternity house and you've got a high C, low B average, the only way to explain that away is to say, well, you know, I mean, there's beer. He's just not very bright. Oh, those halcyon days. So yeah, he ratted out his own fraternity brothers. In the Atlantic article, it relates that the current vice president, quote, was not a particularly hard partier, but he oversaw his brother's complicated plans to sneak alcohol into the house and was in charge of ironing out any issues with adults if things went wrong, and then he ratted them out. Uh, his former fraternity brother, said, yeah, they really raked us over the coals. They locked down the whole house. And his fraternity brothers were disgusted with him. But, on the other hand, the college administration thought he was such a nice boy, such a good boy. And when he graduated, they offered him a job. The college offered him a job. Yeah, you can just stay here and work, Mikey. You're such a good little Eichmann. Yeah. I only mention that story because if I were Donald Trump, I'd be a mite worried about little Mikey there. He's actually got a history of being a stool pigeon, of being a rat, an informant, a collaborator, or what was known in some circles once upon a time as a capo. Yeah. No, if I was Donald Trump, I'd be real worried. In fact, in the same, it's also been exposed that after the release of the Access Hollywood tape, Mike Pence actually considered running a palace coup on Donald Trump, but then decided he'd stay loyal for the time being. Yeah, sure he did. Sure he did. Because he knew that his chances would be far better if Trump were to win to replace him as president than to try to win the presidency on his own, because there is no way Mike Pence would have been elected president. Unlike Jesus mentioning, little Mikey would have gotten the soap in the pillowcase treatment. Well, sadly, he didn't. His fraternity brothers just learned that they couldn't trust him. And I wouldn't be surprised if somewhere along the way, the current occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue learns the same thing the hard way. Hell, you almost got to wonder if Mikey's already wearing a wire. Because Mikey's got exposure in the whole obstruction of justice thing to begin with. Mikey, after Chris Christie took his tragic fall, we're not sure if he jumped or was pushed, but Mikey was put in charge of the transition team. And of course, it was as a function of the transition that another Mikey Flynn, was told to reach out to the Russians to try to subvert the ongoing foreign policy of the United States as expressed by the person who was still the president of the United States. Would you trust Mike Pence if you were Donald Trump? And I know just thinking about being Donald Trump is noxious altogether, but would you? Of course, then again, if you're Donald Trump, really, who can you trust? We already know how many people have made a deal Papadopoulos, Flynn, others, maybe, that we don't know about. Oh, and then there's Paul Manafort, who was up to have his liberty restored to him so he could move about, except that it turned out that, well, you know, Paul Manafort's one of those people who thinks he's smarter than everybody else and really isn't. Paul Manafort wrote an op-ed at the connivance and in conjunction with an individual who, shall we say, was not of a savory character. And the plan was for the op-ed to be published not under Paul Manafort's name, but for it to be published under someone else's name as an attempt to sway public opinion toward the innocence of Paul Manafort. What a clever boy. There's only one problem. Bob Mueller and his team were watching the whole thing unfold in real time. And so he's been busted for it. And consequently, the government is now using that participation as an argument in favor of not letting Paul Manafort off home confinement because he cannot be trusted to remain law-abiding. Mm-hmm. How about that? Well, let's shift down to something a little more in the way of the mundane, shall we? Let's go out to Iowegia. Something positively prosaic. It's high school basketball season out in Iowegia. And Forest City High School was playing Eagle Grove High School. Eagle Grove, well, like ever so many places in the United States, there are people of Hispanic origin in Eagle Grove, and this did not go well or play well with a guy by the name of the longtime announcer for the Forest City High School broadcasts, Orin Harris, another Orin, and his producer. Let's check in, shall we?
Like nothing's ever wrong.
Gonna get over.
Hold on here. Let's re-cue that. Get the best part of it. Don't want to miss anything. Here we go.
Damn. We'll get through it.
Yeah, you sound like nothing's ever wrong.
Gonna get over early anyway. So that,
yeah.
God, Eagle Grove girls.
Oh. Oh my gosh, I didn't want to be on either end of this game.
Pathetic.
Ugh.
Pitiful. Hey, we got, first three names I got to remember are Enzo Gabara, Spencer Espigio, Nicholas Padilla for Eagle Grove. They have a lot of, apparently,
Hispanic people
in Eagle Grove.
Gee, I wonder why that is.
I wonder why.
But the latest there is that they're just going to gradually come into town. Yeah, right.
Yeah, uh-huh. Gradually, yeah. Work their way in.
So who are these people again?
Yeah, who are they? Oh, you want to know the names?
Yeah.
Enzo Gabara, Spencer Espigio, and Nicholas Padilla.
Well, they sound like they've been there a while with giving the first name.
Yeah, I think they've been there Padilla, I think. It's P-A-D-I-L-L-A.
Yeah, Padilla.
Padilla, something like that.
Yeah.
Then there's Chase Blasey. He sounds like he's not a foreigner. Could be, though.
Yeah.
They're all foreigners.
Exactly, all foreigners.
Yeah, as Trump would say, go back where they came from.
Well, some would say that, yeah.
Yeah.
Some days I feel like that, too.
Yeah.
Some days I feel like that, too. Again, this was a high school basketball game. And the producer and Orrin Harris, as you heard in the exchange, go back and forth talking about how foreign the Eagle Grove players' names are. And then eventually, of course, comes the payoff. As Trump would say, go back where they came from. Eche maggots. Where something that's supposed to be an exercise in character building and sportsmanship instead turns into a nightmare of racism, bigotry, and xenophobia because Trump. Because this is our country now in 2017. Well, there's some good news. The radio announcer, Orrin Harris, and the producer have been sacked. They have been said to have been sacked. Not for sure. KIMT contacted the KOIW radio station about Orrin Harris, but KOIW said no comment. And they wouldn't say whether or not he's still employed. Betty Jo Willard captured it. She lives in Eagle Grove. She said, this is absolutely appalling. This is why our country is failing. How dare they talk about our Eagle Grove kids like this? Shame on them. Well, sure. Sure. Shame on them. But shame on a whole lot more people. Because if you've got two people behind a microphone like this, you got a lot more people in the community like that, too. And it's not the community, it's the county. And it's not the county, it's the state. And it's not the state, it's the nation. Now, WHO-TV does report that the two individuals have been fired. KIOW issued a statement yesterday. They said, these comments were deplorable. Interesting word choice. And the staff and management of KIOW in no way condones or supports these comments. In fact, you know, here's the whole statement. On Tuesday, November 20th, this is from KIOW Mix 107.3. On Tuesday, November 28th, two employees of KIOW made comments that were insensitive, thoughtless, and degrading to others. Interesting how they can't say racist, bigoted, or xenophobic, isn't it? These comments were deplorable, and the staff and management of KIOW in no way condones or supports these comments. These comments never aired on KIOW radio. They did, however, appear on a video feed that appeared on a school website. That night, when we learned of these comments, we were in contact with the Eagle Grove School District
and gathered information about the incident. On Thursday morning, November 30th, a letter of apology was sent to school officials along with details of our actions in regards to the two employees involved. As a result, both employees have been fired from their positions with the station. KIOW Radio has a long history of promoting and supporting student athletes, coaches, and schools. As a company, we take great pride in spotlighting the great efforts of our local citizens, schools, and communities, and we will demand that all company employees adhere to this policy. KIOW Management.
Huh. Interesting. I'm always worried about weasel words.
As a result, both employees have been fired from their positions with the station.
Does that necessarily mean that they don't have other positions? I don't know. But there's a larger issue here. And that is the degree to which this sort of comment and this sort of conduct has been normalized by the election of Donald Trump. Ask yourself, do you think that old Orrin here, you think old Orrin Harris would have felt quite as comfortable airing this stuff out a few years back? Maybe we've got to go back further than the election of Donald Trump. Maybe we've got to go back to the last days of the whiteness of George W. Bush. Maybe we've got to go further back than that. Back to maybe, 1988, when Barbara Bush was sitting at the Republican National Convention and pointed to George W. and Laura's precious little daughters. Laura and Bigfoot, or whatever her name, Barbara, Laura and Barbara, and evinced how proud she was of her grandchildren, and then pointed over to the children of Jeb Bush, and said, "And I call those the little brown ones." No, there's a direct reference to Trump in what Orrin Harris says.
As Trump would say, go back where they came from.
What if they came from, Eagle Grove? What if that's as far back as they can go? Well, some of them seem to have been here for a while. But it's all open. It's all out in the open now. And we are talking about a certain segment of the population that feels emboldened and empowered to manifest their hatefulness with no fear whatsoever of any repercussions. Now, there were repercussions here. But it's not like they're going to throw this guy out of his church, because he's church. He's bound to be church people. And I'm sure he's been surrounded by people saying, "Well, you were just taken down by political correctness." This guy'll be a goddamn hero over on that website that rhymes with light and fart. If he isn't already. Damnation. But there's something like this seemingly every day and everywhere. How's about the Pennsylvania State House?
That was Iowa. How about Pennsylvania? No, this doesn't have anything to do with people with foreign-sounding last names. No. This is a different kind of bigotry and a different kind of hatred. Pennsylvania House State Government Committee Representative Daryl Metcalf was involved in a colloquy with Democratic Chairman Matt Bradford in a committee meeting. Matt Bradford touched representing Metcalf, the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-mentalist, homosexual Republican, and the following transpired.
There is a better way to do this, guys. We don't have to proceed on this one. I hear you. I understand there's some hard feelings with PennDOT.
Representative Bradford, Yes. Just look, I'm a heterosexual. I have a wife. I love my wife. I don't like men, as you might, but don't stop touching me all the time. So like, keep your hands to yourself. Like, if you want to touch somebody, you have people on your side of the aisle that might like it. I don't. I
like it. Okay. Chairman. Okay. We're officially off the rails. So let me throw out a simple idea. My intent was just to beg for your permission for about 30 seconds.
Then beg. Don't touch.
I don't know where we go from here, really. Let me make a suggestion that we do a motion to postpone till our next regularly called meeting of the State Government Committee. I think it's probably appropriate we have a sidebar to talk about some of the, what I'll call, extraneous issues that have been raised. I think we'd be wise to keep to the topic of, as it turns out, landlocked easements and roads. I'm pretty much without any further comment that
could be constructive
at this time.
Thank you, Representative Bradford.
How's that for weird? I mean, there's video. It's not just audio. And apparently there's something that just freaked out representing Metcalf. This is a story out of the Philadelphia Inquirer, by the way. Metcalf is from Butler County. And Matt Bradford of Montgomery County is the ranking Democrat. I'm sorry, he's not the chairman. And he briefly touched Metcalf's arm. Left forearm. Eliciting the, look, I'm a heterosexual. I have a wife. I love my wife. I don't like men, as you might, but stop touching me all the time. And my favorite, of course, was the, it's like, keep your hands to yourself. Like, if you want to touch somebody, you have people on your side of the aisle that might like it. I don't! And he thinks he doth protest too much. What he was doing was gay slurring the Democrat, Matt Bradford. Before touching him on the arm. Wonder what he's afraid of. Wonder who representing Metcalf's been a touching of. I promise. I'm not. Note coming in from Matt in San Francisco. Bob, I'm starting to think you're intentionally trying to get me to throw my iPhone 6 across the room. Well, no. Of course not. Now, if you had an iPhone X, no, I'm not that cruel. But this is... Okay, Matt, you're in San Francisco. Let me just see if I can get some context and perspective on this. If that exchange happened in a committee meeting of the California legislature, what would it be like? I mean, are there, and this is my own ignorance. I freely admit it. I guess California's got its fair share of right-wing weirdos. But if you ever wanted proof of the ancient adage that Pennsylvania is Philadelphia in the east and Pittsburgh in the west and Alabama in the middle, that's it. Because that's the kind of thing you'd expect to hear with one of those syrupy, molasses-laden, corn-pone accents. Let's do it Alabama style. With representing Metcalf. Representative Bradford, look, I'm a heterosexual. I have a wife. I love my wife. I don't like men, as you might, but stop touching me all the time. It's like keep your hands to yourself. Like if you want to touch somebody, you have people on your side of the aisle that might like it. I don't. As if there aren't. Good God Almighty, the GOP closet is bigger than that goddamn former gymnasium that houses Joel Osteen's church in Houston. And one gets a feeling that maybe, maybe representing Metcalf had a hanger stuck in his coat. You touching me because you think something about me? I'm not that way, I promise. I promise I'm not that. I ain't that way. And then there's old Ralph Shorty. Remember Ralph? Remember Ralph Shorty? Out in Oklahoma stand. Ralph Shorty who was the Trump 2016 chairman for Trump in Oklahoma. Yeah. We talked about Ralph. Ralph got caught in a hotel room at the Super 8 with a 17-year-old boy that he was a-looking to have sexy time with and was a-smoking the marijuanas with. Because he had solicited the boy, because the boy said he was looking for some spring break money. Meth. And the boy's daddy got worried, and somehow or another, the local constabulary showed up at the Super 8 motel room, and now the body cam footage has been released of Ralphie. Now, not only was Ralphie the Trump 2016 campaign chair in Oklahoma Stan, he's also, of course, and I could have saved this for tomorrow night, I could have, but... I'm going to be backlogged tomorrow night, I can already tell. He's also a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, ammosexual. Well, he may not be ammosexual. Because like I said, he was a very, very straight man, and wife and kids and all that stuff. And he got caught there in the Super 8 with a boy, not his, spouse. Yeah, he wound up pleading last week. Last week, he pled guilty to one count of child sex trafficking in federal court in Oklahoma. But the body cam footage is out there, and we're not going to go through that. That's just it's just too damn salacious. But there's one little fact. Okay, Arthur, you're not giving anybody else a chance. Arthur says, I'm perfectly straight in every way. I was voted most likely to still be straight in 20 years. When I kiss men, it's in a totally straight manner. Precisely. Yeah, there's that too. The reference to Babs Bush, Steve from Georgia Stan recalling. Or that time when she said, and the refugees being housed in the Astrodome were underprivileged anyway, so this is working out very well for them. I'm just afraid they're going to want to stay. Yeah, there was that. Okay, so there's one aspect of the Ralph Shorty story. And I mean, oh, he was a fine Republican Christian. You know, right there in the church every time the doors opened. Absolutely. But it's a scene straight out of Cops. They show up at the hotel room, the motel room. Ralphie opens the door, and he's wearing a T-shirt. He's not exactly dressed for legislating. But it's the T-shirt that sort of got all over me. In the body cam video, you can see that it's a white T-shirt with a line drawing of a sandwich on it. You know, Wonder Bread, piece of meat, piece of cheese, a little mayonnaise, whatever. It's a sandwich. And the words on the sandwich say, words on the T-shirt say, make me a sandwich. Now, we're not going to engage in any shaming here, but Ralph has apparently had lots of sandwiches. But underneath where it says, make me a sandwich, and the drawing of the sandwich, it says, Ephesians 5:22. So, you know me, that made me curious. So I had to go and check out Ephesians 5:22. It's, of course, the name of a book in the New Testament. It's allegedly a letter from Paul to the church at Ephesus. Very famous in the ancient world. I believe the Artemis cult. There was a huge temple to Artemis. Not the sidekick in Wild Wild West. This is the goddess at Ephesus. And this is that Bible verse that the good God fearing upstanding Bible believing Christ centered evangelical fundamentalist homosexuals Christians. This is one of their biggest hits. They love this Bible verse. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. That's your Ephesians 5:22 to 24. And that's what was on Ralph Shorty's T-shirt, including the words, make me a sandwich. At one point in the tape, Shorty says to the cops, I'm sorry, you guys are just freaking me out a little bit. And the cop says, yeah, and of course, again, white privilege. They didn't bust down the door. They didn't break it. They didn't break any bones. They didn't throw him to the ground. They didn't pepper spray him. They didn't kill him. In fact, you can see him wandering around in the room. Now, you just sit right back down on the bed there. What's your name? Ralph. Ralph what? Shorty, you got any ID? Shorty doesn't sound like a last name to me. The cop didn't know that was good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Oklahoma State Senator Trump 2016 campaign chairman Ralph Shorty. I'm sorry, you guys are just freaking me out a little bit. Yeah, that's kind of what we do, the cop says. He says, you know, that boy's only 17 years old. Ralph says,
Can you show me that he's only 17? Cop says, no, I can't, but I can convince you that he is. I can put you in handcuffs and put you in the back of a car. What sense does it make for me to lie to you? But listen, whatever you're doing, it's a bad fucking idea. Does that make sense to you? See, the nice white Oklahoma cop was giving Ralph Shorty a nice white talking to. He said, listen, the cop says, listen, my God, can you imagine a person of color being treated this way by the police? Listen, if you've got things you need to figure out, you need to figure that out. You can live your life however you want to live it, but when you start doing it with kids and stuff, then it starts to become a serious, serious problem. Wait a minute, cowbell for hung like Jesus. Hey, Bob, is that a man sandwich or a ham sandwich? I love the way you guys think. But he does. He gives him a nice talking to about how dangerous it is for him to be messing around. I mean, he's being the cops being all gay and white friendly. And look, if you want to, that's your business. If you got things you need to sort out about your life, that's okay. Just don't do it with 17-year-olds. Don't do it. If that boy was 2 years younger, I'd be taking you to jail, he explains to him. I'm guessing. Granted, I'm guessing. But I'm guessing if that had been a black man, his flesh would have long since been pierced by some taser barbs, probably gassed 2 or 3 times with some pepper spray, on the ground with probably somebody sitting on top of him, driving his face into the cheesy carpet of the, and I do mean cheesy, of the Super 8 Motel, and telling him to quit resisting, at which point they probably would have blown his fucking brains out. But I'm just speculating. I knew you wouldn't fail me, brother. Matt in San Francisco says, if the simple touch from another man stirs you up that much, there's a couple bars I can take you to where you can explore that feeling with no consequences. No need to involve underage guys. A simple smile and some small talk and a request may get you to that place of understanding where you fall on the sexual scale. And that would be a hell of a lot easier, wouldn't it, than figuring out where you fall on the sexual scale by having a very friendly police officer explain it to you in a motel room of a Super 8 somewhere in godforsaken Oklahoma. Yep. Yeah, I wonder if Mrs. Shorty's figured anything out. I wonder if she's going to stay in her good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, Christian, one man and one woe man, family values marriage. You see, this wasn't the first time that Ralph done this. This is the time that he got caught. Oh, and he's a dirty talking feller, that Christian Ralph Shorty. He sure is. In entering his guilty plea, he told the federal court, it is in my best interest and in the best interest of my family. He's facing a minimum 10 years in prison. Child sex trafficking. Wow. In exchange for his plea, federal prosecutors did drop 3 child kiddie porn charges that they had also filed against him. He went to the state Senate, Ralph did, in 2010. And by 2012, he was already generating national media attention and had become a hero of the good, God-fearing, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian white wing, because that's when he introduced his bill. No kidding. That's when he introduced his bill that prohibited the manufacture and sale of food or products that used aborted human fetuses. Bear in mind, there are no food products that are made out of baby. There's no Soylent Baby out there. But goddamn, just like Janet Porter there a little bit ago, there you can't convince them of it. Doug Jones is a baby eater, right? Yeah. He had some when they busted him. Good Christian Ralph had him some marijuanas in his backpack and a box of condoms. Because he was practicing safe hypocrisy. Didn't want to leave no DNA laying around or anything. Or swimming around, I guess, depending on how you... But that reminds me, because Ralph sort of reminds me of good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Blake Farenthold of Texas. He's got him one of them traditional family values, one man and one woman marriages. He's the one that had one of his staffers paid $84,000 out of the secret congressional slush fund for that's maintained for, you know, dirty, gropey congressmen. John Conyers, the longest-serving member in the House, resigned today. And there was a growing body of evidence that Representative Conyers was not particularly honorable in the sexual arena, that he was handsy too and put them where he had no business putting them. And he resigned. You know why he resigned? Because Nancy Pelosi said he damned well better resign. Just like Nancy Pelosi demanded that Anthony Weiner resign. Mm-hmm. Blake Farenthold, on the other hand, $84,000 later to the American taxpayer. Blake Farenthold, who sexually harassed his communications director, and said communications director's life having been ruined. No, seriously, when she decided to come forward with the sexual harassment that she had been subjected to, friends, not acquaintances, friends, people she trusted, told her, "You will never work in this town again." And no sooner was the ink dry on the settlement agreement than she never worked in Washington, D.C. again. And she has struggled from that day unto this, trying to find meaningful, gainful employment that puts her considerable talents to use. She's odd-jobbed, she's part-time, she's temped, and she's even been supported by her parents. But she can't work in Washington, D.C. anymore because she spoke up and said that she did not appreciate being sexually harassed by Blake Farenthold, the man who was known to get so drunk at functions that his staff had to go with him on what they referred to as redhead patrol. One of the things that Blake Farenthold, Republican, of course, did to Ms. Lauren Green was to say that, you know, I received an email from a woman that wants to have a threesome with you and me. What do you say? We're talking about he's twice her age. This is the guy who showed up at the party in the footy pajamas, the blue flannel footy pajamas with the yellow ducky print. Yeah, him. But we know all that. Here's the point of, or here's what I was thinking about when Ralph Shorty reminded me of Blake Farenthold. Nancy Pelosi wasted no time in helping helping John Conyers out the door. And John Conyers has a long and respectable legislative history. He was good at his job. He was not good in terms of how he dealt with women. But whatever good John Conyers did in his career will be overshadowed by the bad that he did, the evil that he did, the wrong that he did. And he's gone. Whatever good he did is gone with him. But Blake Farenthold is still in the House of Representatives. Now understand, John Conyers resigned today. He's up for re-election in 2018, whether he decided to run again or not. He was up for re-election. He was secure in his term. And really nobody could make him do anything. But Nancy Pelosi is strong, and she is unforgiving, and she will brook no she will brook no challenge to her authority. And she said, "Stand not upon the order of your going, John Conyers, but go at once." On the other hand, Paul Ryan can't seem to find the moral outrage to tell Blake Farenthold, leave now. No, don't give me this bullshit about you're not going to run in 2018. Leave now. Leave yesterday. Clock's ticking. I think I hear your mother calling you, Blake. Go. Get out. For God's sake, go. You have done enough. Nope. Paul Ryan can't do that any more than Paul Ryan can speak out about a Senate candidate in Alabama. Granted, he's in the House, and we're talking about the Senate. But he can't speak out about a Senate candidate in Alabama who gropes young, underage women. Didn't have any problem talking about Al Franken. But no, he can't. Paul Ryan has apparently thoroughly internalized Reagan's 11th commandment, thou shalt not criticize another Republican. And then, of course, there's Joe Barton. He of the really horrifying naked selfie screen cap from a longer, well, the video was longer. You know, that was accompanied by a message saying, I'm so hard for you right now. How can you tell? Damn. So Barton said, well, you know, I'm not going to run for re-election in 2018. I'm going to retire. Nancy Pelosi won't put up with that I'm going to retire bullshit. You got to go. Yeah, that's great. Now you got to go. Leave. Paul Ryan says, well, if you feel like you've got to go, I guess you've got to go. Wonder how many dirty videos Smokey Joe Barton. Thanks, Bob. We'll send between now and, say, January 2019. Ooh-wee. Gotta love them Republican conservative values. I know I do. Note coming from James. Subject line, brown ones. I grew up in California with little brown kids whose families had been there long before mine arrived. One of my closest friends was half Native American, who these racist bastards would want to deport based upon appearance. Animals. They are that. And, you know, I'm not telling anybody anything, what to do or anything, but ask your Republican friends if they can denounce Roy Moore. You don't have to say anything more. If they don't, though, you will in that moment know more about them than you had heretofore ever known. Yeah, I saw some guy saying, you know what? There ain't gonna be no trial, and he ain't gonna, he'd have to be proven guilty by beyond a reasonable doubt. No. That's a criminal. That's the criminal standard of proof. If we're talking about the civil suit standard of proof, we're talking about proof by a preponderance of the evidence. That means 50% plus 0.0001. And when you take the consistency of the accuser's words versus the inconsistency and the dodging and the backpedaling and the looping around and the circling and the evading of Roy Moore, you can get up past that 50% real, real easy. So don't fall for any of that standard of proof horse shit. So, I just thought it would be fitting to update on all of that, because it ain't just Roy Moore. But again, as Paul Ryan proves, I-O-K, I-Y-A-R. Because we'd hate for Blake Ferentholder, Joe Barton, to miss out on any of their tasty federal salary. Can't be throwing them out in the cold here at the in the most wonderful time of the year and the sacredness of the holiday season now, can we? Okay, he's been waiting a while. Let's check in with Jim. Hey, Jim.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm well. How are you?
Well, I'm off work release.
Yes, of course.
They said, you know, just go and sin no more. And I said,
what's that? Go and sin some more.
I would have could, but I can't. I said, I told the parole officer, I can't even give it away, much less sell it. He said, get out of here. Listen, I have not been able to get you tonight on my computer. I don't know why. It's atmospheric or whatever. The same kind of shit they said at Pearl Harbor.
It's crappy band. No, it's not atmospheric. It's crappy bandwidth is what it is.
I hear you. But anyway, so I on the off chance of just saying hello, I just hit 27 on my speed dial, and there you were. And
I'm number 27, am I?
You are. You're number 27. That's a good number. It's a good number on the roulette wheel, too. But nonetheless, you know, these names, Hackensack or Hackenfuck, or what the hell are these people?
They're monsters.
God, I would hate to have a last name like that. That may sound very
Which one? Shorty?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I guess it's better than being named. I don't know. Is it better or worse than being named Ralph Chode?
Oh, yeah. There you go. I've always preferred referencing our friend Lizzie Graham of Peckerwood, but that's all right, sir. That's all right. We just have our barbecues in Peckerwood all the time. But nonetheless, what's the deal? And like I say, I'm shooting blank tonight because I haven't been able to get you on the horn. But and I have no tracer bullets. But what's the deal in Alabama? Can we talk about that, or is that too late,
Do, Carl? Please. I mean, I have been. Do, sure.
Well, what's the deal there? Are they still pulling up yard signs on Moore?
Well, I mean, there's
is it the other one, Jones?
No, they've been the Moore people are pulling up Jones yard signs.
That's what I saw, yeah.
Yeah. But the evangelicals are circling the wagons, and the preachers, I'm sure the preachers had it. If there was some way that you could check sermons from this past Sunday down at the down at the Wetumpka Baptist Church or whatever, I'm sure you'd hear a lot of talking about what a godly man Roy Moore is and how we've got to protect the little fetuses from Doug Jones because he's gonna kill all them fetuses.
I just understand how these people's minds work. I do not. I grew up among them, but I never had to encounter such back when, you know, I was in my growing period of my life in human development. I never saw it. Maybe it was there, and I just refused to pay attention to it. You know, I was able to do that very well in those days. I really was. Because I knew what the outside of that particular circle would bring into my life. It would be nothing but hatred, revile, disgust, and persecution.
Right. Because that's what they specialize in.
They certainly do.
Otherwise known as Christian love.
Mm-hmm. Tough love. As Nancy Reagan called it. Boy, she was an example of tough love.
Hate the sin, but love the sinner.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that brings into question, what right have they to determine what other people's sins are? And that, you know, that'll carry you back to that whole beam in thine own eye before you pluck the mote out of anybody else's thing. But that's another part of the Bible that they're not so good at reading.
I was thinking about that. And you were referencing some verse from Ephesians or whatever?
Yes.
I thought, well, so, now what are you talking about? Some kind of laxative or some kind of purgative?
What, Ephesians?
It sounds like some kind of medicine or something. I don't know.
It's the ancient city of Ephesus there on the, those are the Ionian Greek cities.
Well, I know it well.
Yep.
Supposedly the mother of Christ, the Blessed Mother died there, I think, or was that somewhere else? I don't know. I mean, there's just so much hagiography that has been surrounded by our Holy Scriptures that it has really grabbed me by the heartstrings to think, you know, like, where does this stuff come? Why? And how would they, you know, reconcile this with actual events? I was watching something on the History Channel tonight about the plagues of Egypt. And apparently they said it could have been some type of grain fungus. And that Egyptian children were, as the firstborn, the first ones to eat. And if there were anything left, well, you shouldn't eat. And they said that possibly it could have been this type of ergot.
I suppose that's true, or it could also be an entirely made-up story. Because there is, you know, you'd think that tens of thousands of people wandering around in the desert for 40 years, you'd think that they'd, you know, drop a belt buckle or lose a sandal or something somewhere along the way.
I've often wondered about that. I mean,
there is not a single shred of archaeological evidence whatsoever to support the Exodus in any way. And of course, we now know that one of the principal lies that was told down through the ages was that the enslaved children of Israel were the ones who built all that monumental architecture in Egypt. That, too, of course, is a giant lie.
Not so.
Because the pyramids and so forth were built by people who were trained professionals. That's why they've lasted so long.
and he wanted to build them. And they were well-fed, taken care of. The ruins they found around the villages.
Yeah, there were entire cities built around the pyramids.
For the laborers who
built them. You're absolutely right.
I mean, you know, it's like that. What's that citation? It was great from the Ten Commandments of Charlton Heston about, you know, the abuses of the slaves.
Was that where he said, "Get your hands off me, you filthy apes"? No, that's a different movie. Sorry.
you devil. He said, basically, he was referencing how the dead will build none. These people have to be fed. And that was not the case. These people who moved those stones and built these magnificent structures were not slaves.
Nope.
They were well-trained people. They were motivated by their own religion and, you know, I guess in hopes for some type of afterlife for their efforts to serve the Pharaoh. Maybe I'm wrong there. Correct me if I am.
No, I think you're right.
I'll tell you. And this business with Donald Trump and these women who've come forward against him, now you know more about this than I do. Now, if they get that son of a bitch, if they can depose that son of a bitch into a setting in which he is pushed up against the wall, what do you think he will do? Lie? Of course he'll lie.
I'm betting on start a war myself.
Well, that's what we were talking about last night, and I think he'd probably pull some shit like that in order to deflect that away from himself. That's the reason I've always had a sneaky suspicion that's, you know, sneaking down my spine, that he would absolutely do anything. I mean, the man has no character. He has no honesty. He has no absolute sense of anything that relates to me as far as being a human being is concerned. He has fucked over everybody in this existence that we shortly have for his own greed and good. Can't get credit from any bank in New York. We talked about it on site. He got credit from the Russians through Deutsche Bank. And now they're going into that. And, you know, if they pursue that long enough, oh, darling.
Well, this is
numbers don't lie.
Deutsche Bank will be the kind of thing that would move Trump to fire Mueller, because he has long said that, well, my family's finances are completely off limits and not and should not be looked at by Robert Mueller.
And we'll have another Saturday Night Massacre, right? It's like with
he's got to rig it so he can do it, because as long as the brief remains such as it is, and as long as the precedent established remains such as it is, and by God, Ken Starr pretty well established the precedent that a special prosecutor can lieth where he list, then it's going to be hard for Jeff Sessions to step in and do anything about Mueller.
Well, has not Jeff Sessions recused himself and refused to participate in it?
Precisely. That's what makes it difficult.
Uh-huh. Well, it's going to make it difficult for Trump, too, because he can't have somebody in there who's going to, you know, follow his directions. Is that not so?
That is. And so it's a sort of a wait and see. But if he tugs at the thread of Donald Trump and his family's skeevy, sketchy finances, that whole sweater will unravel.
Oh, it's going to be like a tapestry that's not even been woven. Absolutely. I mean, it is that close to being totally unraveled.
And see one thing. And this is worth thinking about. not too awfully long back, maybe shortly before the election, or maybe it was just a couple of months ago. Can't remember quite offhand. Somebody else, go look it up, whatever. Jared Kushner, at whom Mueller is looking most closely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he executed a finance deal with Deutsche Bank to put tenants in a portion of the old New York Times building that he purchased. And the way the loan was structured, he came out a cool $64 million ahead with the loan monies.
Must be nice. I wonder how he does that.
Well, you know, it's like F. Scott Fitzgerald said to Hemingway, the rich are very different from you and me.
They are, certainly. They certainly can pull certain levers to which we have no attraction or ability to maneuver. That's for damn sure.
Yep.
But, I mean, this guy is, this Kushner, I mean, whom do you think they will hit next? Kushner or Junior?
I think Kushner's probably the easier target because he's, as difficult as it may be to conceive this, he's done more stupid things.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, you've got to pay attention to what's going on around them. There was a global security conference thingamajig, you know, where they have the lark's vomit canapes and the hummingbird tongue toast and that kind of thing. And H.R. McMaster, the national security advisor, showed up and he said, "We get closer to war with North Korea every day."
Yeah, that's another thing too.
Well, look for some dog wagging. But and you got Precious Lindsay out there saying, we need to get the American dependence out of South Korea right now, lickety split.
And get them back over to Peckerwood or Cornhole or wherever the hell he lives.
Oh, you mean the ancestral plantation, Smoldering Chode?
Yes. I call it Cornhole or Peckerwood. Yeah. I used to have a little respect for him because of the Air Force, but, you know, I don't have any anymore. I mean, this guy.
I knew all I needed to know about Lindsey Graham when I watched the impeachment hearings back in the 90s.
Oh, Miss Thing, of course you did.
A grasping, climbing, demagoguing ideologue. That I would not trust with the carcass of a dead skunk.
Just as vicious as anything like one of those machines that can turn wood into chips.
But I can't say anything too overt about Precious Lindsay, because then the purity patrol will get all hot and bothered, and I don't know, they might come after me the same way they went after, you know, Joy Reid or something, because,
yeah,
you know, there's just not nearly enough ideological purity to go around.
Well, they do have it in quantities, don't they?
Apparently they think they do, yeah.
Well, I mean, they think they do. They think they can spear that stuff like Vaseline over whatever.
Well, they're on a self-appointed mission to spread ideological purity throughout the left, and you know, if you want to win elections or anything, that doesn't matter. If you lose and you got your ideological purity intact, well, there's always another election to fuck up around the corner.
Well, hell, the ideological purity is like my Asian Aunt Catherine, who my father looked at her one day when we were then after Christmas or Thanksgiving. He was an old maid. And he just looked at him. She had a hearing aid. He said to her, to me, he said, "Son, look at her." And she was sitting there nodding because of the trip to Japan. He said, "She is a living example that you can take it with you."
Your dad been sampling the eggnog?
No. He was just sitting there in his chair. You know, after he had this big recliner in the lounge and the den, and, you know, it was just a very comfortable room. And I still love it, and I wish it was still there, but it's not. But he was just and he opened one eye. He had a problem with his right eye, and I helped him save it because they wanted to take it out. He had some kind of problem, but I took him to another doctor and at least saved the eye. But nonetheless, he was just sitting there and with nose and dodge and stuff like that. Most of the time, he was awake. He was just listening, just like an old spider. Wait for Miss Scarlett to come to Atlanta. And he just looked at me, and I thought he was just zounds gone. He said, "Son, I want you to look at her. She is a living example that you cannot, if you can, take it with you."
Was that his sister or your mama's sister?
My mother's sister.
How did I know? How did I know?
Oh my God, she was the one I told you about having to take the doctor when I was 16.
Yes, absolutely.
About the
water
test.
Yes, absolutely.
I was horrible in doing that, but I didn't want to do it. Hell, I just got my driver's license. I didn't want to drive her dad, Dr. McCorkle's office. My God. So after that, I was never tasked with that particular function or request. I was just a little devil. But I said, mm-mm, ain't going to do this no more. But honestly and truly, these people that you've been talking about, I don't know how in the world they can live with themselves. Of course, they do. And I just wonder how well they live with themselves. I mean, you know, you've got so many of them who are, you know, glassed over on the top, but underneath are such bloody fucking hypocrites.
Well, they are that, but the thing is, the thing about being a Republican hypocrite is that nobody ever calls you on it because they expect you to be that. That's why there is such a gulf, Jim, between Republican hypocrisy and when Democrats screw up. I mean,
well, you got a point there.
Look, Anthony Weiner and here recently John Conyers. John Conyers had seniority out the gazoo, and Nancy Pelosi made him quit.
Why did she do that? I mean, this guy
because he was going to drag down everybody else with him. Because as long
I mean,
as
he's 88 years old,
but as long as he was in office, Jim, he was going to be a millstone around the neck of the House of congressional Democrats, because they could say, "Well, look, you know, he done it too." And I have a feeling if Nancy Pelosi could do it, she'd probably make Al Franken resign too.
I'm sure she probably would too. And what you know,
she ain't gonna, because she is a strong wielder of power. And she is not going to brook that kind of bullshit.
You know, I would love to call her up and say, "You know, ma'am, who in the fuck gave you the right to be hall monitor?"
But no, it's politics, and it's brutal, and I understand it.
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, my God. And, you know, in Washington today, it's become like a shooting gallery. It really has. I mean, it was bad when
I lived there. Well, yeah, for Democrats, sure. But the thing is, there's really no consequence for Republicans when they do this. If Roy Moore is elected, he will be joyfully seated in the Senate, and there will be not another goddamn word said about expelling him from the Senate, because Mitch McConnell will say, "Well, the people of Alabama have spoken."
Just another fish in that pelican throat.
And so, you know, and the two cases that I point, Jesus Christ, I don't know how much social media you do, but did you see the Joe Barton photograph, Jim?
No, sir, I didn't. My Kindle is giving me trouble. I'm having to replace it.
Well, let me just say that I can't imagine that there's any human being out there of any orientation or any gender or any preference or whatever you want to call it, I can't imagine that wants to see that. Male, female, indeterminate, it don't matter. Nobody.
What do they have on him?
Jesus Christ. It's not what they have on him. It's what he did himself. He shot a video of himself masturbating. and then sent it to a woman, and he threatened her over it, and she held on to it for a few years, and then lo and behold, it popped out. Well, I probably shouldn't say popped out on social media a couple of weeks ago, and it's goddamn disgusting. Okay, I mean
thank you.
If Ahab was around to see him, he'd be in the boat and going after him with a goddamn harpoon. Okay.
Oh, Lord have mercy. It must be a great appetite suppressant.
Oh, and you know, and like I said before, it was accompanied by text. Baby, I'm so hard for you right now. And Paul Ryan didn't say get out. Paul Ryan didn't say you got to go right now. Joe Barton just said, you know, I've decided I'm going to retire at the end of my term.
Oh, well, yeah, I need to spend more time with my family and my grandchildren.
End of his term, so he can keep on drawing his salary while everybody knows he's a filthy perv, because he's a powerful Republican. He's the head of the Energy and Natural Resources Committee, and Paul Ryan wants to make goddamn double sure that he continues in that up until the last possible moment. Blake Farenthold, on the other hand, is just a useless piece of shit backbencher, but... you know, he's not going anywhere either. And Paul Ryan's not out there saying, oh, no, you got to go. No, there ain't going to be no waiting to decide whether you're going to run for re-election or anything. You got to go right now. No, there's not going to be any of that, because Republicans don't do that. And that goes back to the thesis that I was mentioning. There is a different set of expectations and a different set of standards that are applied to Republicans versus Democrats. Republicans are expected to be hypocrites. Republicans are expected to be perverts. Republicans are expected to be sexual harassers and sexual predators. So when you catch them being what you already expect them to be, you go, ho-hum. But if it's a Democrat, then the world catches flame, Jim.
That's a hell of a note. It sure is. I mean, look at Al Franken. I mean, what he did was nothing. But you've got Roy Moore down there, fixing to be reelected or elected to the Senate, and they will see him, and I think you have said, and I do believe, because Mitch McConnell would do anything to get that vote in there, so would Trump. I mean, Mitch McConnell's got his marching orders from Trump. And you know what kind of pure person Donald Trump is.
Oh, sure. Well, Jim, I got to get out of here because we're right up at the end of the program. By the way, Steve from Georgia Stan sends you his warm condolences.
You tell Steve I said hello and wish him a very Merry Christmas, Happy Holiday, or whatever he does.
I think you just did.
And I always enjoy his input to this program, and thank you for taking my call. Sorry I couldn't get you on the horn, but things just went right.
Well, sometimes it's some of that internet weather.
Just like those atmospherics that said, oh, no, them jets can't hit Pearl Harbor.
Oh, dear God, yeah.
Good night, Bob.
Later, Jim. Love you. Later, bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's our buddy Jim calling from not too terribly far from here. Time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody. Thanks again to our subscribers, both at patreon.com/Bob Kincaid and over at headonradionetwork.com/contribute. Gosh, we need more subscribers. It would be helpful if you wanted. But that's the end. This has been a fundraising-free Monday and Tuesday. I don't think we've ever had one of those. So thanks to everybody who made that possible. And thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to Steve from Georgia Stan. And thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox and Ben Birch. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.